tore my heart just a bit. When we think about somebody that finds salvation and their lives are totally changed, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's why we're here. I've titled my message this morning, Moldy Bread. And we'll find out what we're talking about here in a bit. Is that not coming up, Joshua? Okay. We'll just lay a loaf of bread out here. How's that? I have some bread here that looks a little rough. We're just going to lay that there for a bit. I'd like for this morning to turn to 2 Timothy. I've been looking at the book of Timothy for a while at home in my devotions. And just seeing what Paul has to share with Timothy. And there's something that I'm finding that goes through the whole book of Timothy that I never really picked up on before. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 at the beginning here. We'd like to look at verse 1 through 5. Timothy, I believe, was the last book that Paul wrote. And normally when we hear somebody saying their last things before they die, we want to pay close attention. Now, these are some of the last words, I believe, that Paul had written. So let's see what he has to say to Timothy here. Timothy was a young pastor. He said, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I look at this whole list and I think, wow, that's quite a list. We got more we're going to look at here. And I think, not me. I don't want any of that part. And I'm guessing you're probably thinking the same thing. I don't want this in my life. But think about it in your own life. Don't look at the people around you, but start thinking about what's within us as we go through the rest of these. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent or no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady or reckless, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Then he says in verse 5, he says, having a form of godliness or acting religious, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So they have the opportunity for the power, but they've turned that power away. So it shows up as nothing but just good religion. But there's emptiness within. I'd like for you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just cross over to the next page, I'm guessing. We're going to look at Paul, what Paul again says. Kind of the same thread here. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 4. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. He's telling Timothy here, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So we ask why, Timothy? Why is he asking you to do all these things? And he's going to tell us here in verse 3 why. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to listen. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. But after their own lusts or their own desires, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, unto myths. So the desire here is to bring people in that we listen to only want to hear what makes us feel good. Having itching ears. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to go back a bit. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. There it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Let's think about this. The Holy Spirit speaking to Paul. He's speaking expressly, or he's speaking clearly. That in the latter times, when are the latter times? Latter times are in the time that we're in right now. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. He says here they're going to depart. That's what we call apostasy. We've been a part of something, and now we're leaving that. We apostatize. We let go of what we believed in.
But there's something else that happens here. There's a reason they left. It's because they were giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. When I think about a seducing spirit, I think about something that looks good. Because there's not a good chance when... Let's think about deception for a little bit. Let me back up a little bit. We think about deception. If you come and you ask me, Lynn, are you deceived? I'm going to say no. Why would I say no? If I ask you if you're deceived and you say no, why would you say no? If you're deceived, you're not aware of it. So here they're giving heed to seducing spirits. Something that looks good. It looks good, but it isn't good. Isn't the way deception often comes to us today in our day-to-day, we use a lot of internet. We use a lot of ministers that we listen to. That's okay. I do also. But we listen to something that is really, really good. But in the whole process of this, there's something that's deceptive that we pick up. This is where we want to be cautious. Here they were listening to doctrines of devils. They were speaking lies. The speakers were speaking lies and hypocrisy. Their conscience was seared with a hot iron. When I think about a conscience being seared with a hot iron, I think about death. Something that's been seared with a hot iron normally dies. So they're speaking without a conscience. And there's more here, but we're going to stop there with verse 2. What I'm trying to bring out this morning, trying to paint a picture of this morning, is the fact that Paul is telling Timothy, there's going to come a falling away. Be aware. Be alert. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober. Be vigilant. Be aware. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I wish I could say this morning it wouldn't be for anybody that's in here this morning. But can I just be real honest with you for a bit? And I'm guessing you're going to say the same thing. But there's times I walk through those back doors when I come to church. And I already have my guard up. Somebody's going to preach this morning. And I already know where I'm at with God. And it doesn't matter what they share. I'm going to stay in my comfortable little spot. You recognize what I'm talking about? We do that, don't we? My prayer is that we begin coming into our church building here with an openness, with hearts that are ready to receive, with hearts that want to hear, that want to grow. Let me give you a little prayer. I didn't write this prayer, but let me give you a little prayer. Maybe will help us. Lord, quiet my own heart before you. And give me that humble spirit of listening. Whenever I come before you, including this morning, may it be with my guard completely down. With my spiritual head bowed. Ready and willing to hear what you will speak to my heart today. If we come in that manner to the Father and we ask Him to keep us from deception, we ask Him to change us, there's going to be change. We're not going to stay the same. We're going to leave. Either we're energized as we leave or something happened within us that we changed. And as we leave, we're walking closer with the Father than we were before. I'd like for you to turn to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua 9, here we have the story about the Gibeonites. We have the story of the children of Israel. And just to get a little background here, Joshua was in charge here at this time. And it was just before this that they had taken Jericho. God had helped them to overcome Jericho. God had helped them to overcome Ai. Then there was a group of kings. They got together and they said, you know what? There's some really, really good things happening. There are bad things happening there. These Israelites, they're taking over. Everything they do, They're winning. So these kings get together in the first couple of verses of chapter 9. It says in verse 2, and they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. So there was going to be a big coming together. But then there's Gibeon. Gibeon was northwest of Jericho, a little ways, not of Jericho, I'm sorry, of Jerusalem. They started looking at what was happening here with Joshua and the children of Israel, and all of a sudden there was a fear that came over them. And I'm putting some of this in my own words here this morning. But in verse 3, it says, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wildly or craftily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks. Now listen to what they did. They're going to make it look like they're coming. They were going to go to Joshua and to the children of Israel. They're going to ask them to make a treaty. And they're going to make it look like they came a long distance. It says they took old sacks upon their donkeys. My guess is they had some old sacks of some kind that they put things in. I don't know if they laid them down and put their saddle on them or what they did. But they had these old sacks that they laid down. It says they had old wine bottles. They were old, they were rent, they were bound up. Wine bottles that it looked like they were very, very old. They had to patch them. They had old shoes in verse 5. And clouted or patched upon their feet. They had old garments upon them. All of us would probably consider this an old garment, wouldn't we? I'm not sure that any of us would want to wear this morning. That's an old, wore-out pair of overalls. Maybe that's what they looked like. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. So we have bread that's moldy. I have a confession to make. That's not mold. But it looks like it. So we have a moldy loaf of bread here. We have some moldy bread up here. So they had their bread that they took along was moldy. Verse 6, and they went to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal and said unto him, to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. Now there was something that Joshua was watching for. God had told Joshua, if we go back, we're not going to go back to it, but God had told Joshua back in Exodus 23, he had told Moses, rather, he said, I don't want you to make any leagues, any treaties with anybody that's close to you. I'm going to set up a boundary area, and anybody within that boundary area you don't make a league with. So here they were in that boundary area, and here comes somebody, they're saying they're from a far country, and Joshua didn't know who it was. Verse 7, and the men of Israel, Joshua was being careful. The men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell with us, dwell among us. That means, what if you live nearby? How shall we make a league with you? Because if you live nearby, we can't do this. And they kind of skirted the answer. Verse 8, he says, we are thy servants. They didn't really answer him, did they? We're your servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? So finally they give an answer in verse 9. They says, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. That was true. They heard about all this. But I just had to think, maybe there was just a little bit of flattery mixed into there to try to convince Joshua, because they were coming in a crafty way. Maybe there was just a little bit of flattery in there to try to get Joshua to agree with them. It says in verse 10, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. So he said, we talked about it at home, and our elders of all our inhabitants of our country spake to us, and they said, take victuals with you, take food with you for your journey, go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. And then he brought out the bread that he had. And he showed him this moldy bread. And he said, this our bread we took hot for our provisions out of our houses on the day we came forth unto you. When we left, this bread was hot. And look at it now, it's moldy. We came a long ways. But now behold, it is dry and moldy. Then he showed him the wine bottles. He showed him the garments, the shoes. Convincing Joshua and the children of Israel that they came from a long distance so they would make a league with them. Where am I going with this? Deception. They had set up a beautiful plan for deception. They set up a beautiful plan to convince Joshua and the children of Israel that they want them to make a league with them so they're safe. So the Gibeonites would not be destroyed. Let's look at what Joshua did in verse 14. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Let's move on a little bit and see what happens here. We'll come back to this verse. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them and let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were neighbors. They've been deceived. They heard they were neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. So they were about 3 days away. Let's go back to verse 14. Joshua made some decisions according to what he saw, didn't he? According to what he understood that these men brought to him. And I want to bring that to us this morning. Satan is out to deceive and to destroy. We know that. Satan's the father of lies. But we're living in a day right now where deception is so rampant. Can I say it this way? As American Christians, we've got plenty of gimmicks up our sleeves. Gimmicks that look like we're walking with God, when in fact it's not. And I'm not here to name anything this morning, but I'm here for us to understand this morning, to encourage us to be strong. To realize that deception is all around us. And we don't have to look outside of our congregation. Satan is working, trying to get us deceived. Every one of us that's here this morning, he would love to see us deceived and head the wrong direction. Josh and his men made a decision according to their own intuition, according to their own understanding. They made a decision according to some moldy bread that they saw. And I want to ask us this morning, what kind of decisions am I making in life today that are according to the moldy bread that I see? They're according to what I see others do. They're according to what I feel within myself. The last part of verse 14 says, and ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Friends, this is so important this morning. That as we walk through life, that the decisions that we make are based on the Word of God. We heard a lot about the Word of God this morning. There's so much today. One of the things that's real strong today that's coming through is that the Word of God is basically outdated and I don't think I need it anymore. I think we're going to hear more and more of that. Now I want to be careful how I say this. Because I am one that believes very strongly in walking as the Spirit leads us. But the Spirit is going to speak and echo what the Word says. We're in a day right now when they say the Word is not so necessary because I have such a close relationship with God that I hear the Spirit. And I don't need more than that. Friends, it's deception. It's deception. We need the Word of God and the Spirit to work together. You made a comment this morning about the Spirit working. The Spirit will work through the Word. It'll work through the brothers and sisters. It will speak into our hearts. When we're on our knees before the Father, the Spirit speaks to us and we hear. When we're walking our daily walk, As we're in communion with the Father, He speaks to us. But it's going to echo what's in the Word of God. I see heads nodding. I believe we all agree with that. Because Joshua didn't seek God's will, he put his people in danger. Not just for that time, but for many years to come. If we go further and we look how that caused issues later on in their life. Am I making my daily decisions according to my moldy bread or my own intuition instead of seeking what the Word of God says? There's three verses in Jeremiah that I like to just, we don't have to turn there. I'm going to name the first two, read the first two, and then I'll come back to the third one here in a bit. Actually, I'm going to back up first. There's another verse I need to bring in here. Proverbs 14:12, and many of you know this verse. But it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Jeremiah 29:12. This was after 70 years of captivity. God said, "I'll do good to you." And then He said, "Ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me." Hear that this morning. "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." One of the biggest struggles we face today as Christians, it's not something that we see when we meet together, but it's spending time with the Father. As I've been talking to different people, struggles that we face, I've been asking, where are you at in reading your Scripture? Are you with God daily? And one of the things that comes back over and over is, "I don't read. I don't spend time." Friends, it's so important that we get to know God, that we spend time with Him. I want to look at two ways this morning. And these are things that I came up with on my own that I believe echo Scripture. But two ways this morning that we can be on guard against deception. And these are far from, there's a lot more ways than this. But two ways that we want to look at this morning, I believe we can grow in. The first one we like to look at, if we're going to guard against deception, we need to have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. This is where we find our clear direction. This is where we find true freedom. We talk about freedom. So many of us have the idea that freedom is throwing everything else away. I don't need all this church stuff. That's not freedom. That's bondage. True freedom in Christ is walking with Him and serving in Him, living, having Him within us. That's true freedom. If we want to be vibrant, if we want a growing relationship with Jesus, we need to spend time in His presence. Having an understanding of that relationship, that walk with Him. Sometimes we have the idea that it's only the preachers that need to dig in. It's only the preachers that need to spend hours studying. Wrong. Yeah, we do spend hours studying. But if you really want to get out of the Word, what He has for us, if you really want to walk close to Him, it's going to take hours of study. It's not going to be that one verse that we grab in the morning, we hope it lasts for the rest of the day, and by 10 o'clock at work, we totally forgot about what we read. And that night, we're so tired, we can't go back to any other Scripture. So basically, we took that day, and we didn't eat. What if we ate as much physically as we do spiritually? How would we survive? Please understand, I'm not pointing fingers at you this morning. But I believe it's so important that we walk close. John 8:31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We know about the Bereans. The Bereans were a group of people that as they heard the Word of God, they went back home and they studied to see, was it actually so? That's my encouragement to you here this morning. What I have to share here this morning, what Dana and Harold share. By the way, Sam's preaching tonight. He didn't say that. But yeah, Sam is preaching this evening. What we share, go home and study it. Look at it. Because if there's any deception coming through, we want to know it. It is our goal not to bring deception to you. It's our goal to bring you the Word of God that's clear, that's true, that's pure. So look at it like the Bereans did. Check it out. I love listening to podcast. Thank you. I love listening to podcasts. I love listening to different preachers preach. But there's something that's so very, very important as we do. And that is that we look at it and we line it up with Scripture. We have many, many good preachers today. But we've also got many, many preachers today that are willing to preach the gospel for a bit, but they're going to wander off on a side trail that's going to take us into deception. Let's be aware. Let's keep our hearts and our eyes on the Word of God. On our computers. My computer at home, we like to fix up shortcuts. My wife is way better at this than I am. She can go in and she can set something on the computer that's going to be a shortcut a lot faster to get to where we want to go. The Christian life doesn't have shortcuts. We can't do like we do on our computers. We spend time, and as we spend time, we continue to grow. I don't believe there's any shortcuts. But there's also something else that we have to do as we read, because I can read until I'm blue in the face. I can spend hours on my knees. But unless I surrender to what He wants for me, it's still going to be empty. We need to surrender. The third verse I like to read out of Jeremiah 29 is this. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. There's more to that verse, but we're going to stop with that. I will turn away your captivity. That's freedom. I will be found of you, and I'll give you freedom. Not bondage. The second one we'd like to look at is to seek counsel within the body of Christ. Second way that we can be on guard against deception. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I shared here the last time I believe I preached, I shared about seeking out a mentor. Somebody that can help you. So important. But I'd like to share with you this morning that as a body, as we work together, as we function together, I need to be open to you, Tom. Jay, I need to be open to you. And you need to be open to me. As we walk this Christian life together, that if there's deception, we're sensing deception in somebody else's life, that we walk up next to them. We ask them, brother or sister, how are you doing? The way you're walking here, can we be careful with that? Can we go back to the Word and see, is this really how we ought to walk? And we need to be open to each other. Now, I'm not talking about personal preferences. I'm talking about what's in the Word of God. Because what the Word of God says is going to make a difference where I end up. My eternity is going to depend who I loved in this life. I want to be open to you. I hope you're open to me. We need each other. We need each other to help each other, to counsel each other. Paul gives clear direction in 1 Corinthians 12 about the gifts. We could go there this morning, but we're not going to. But he gives clear direction on the gifts. There are some, he says, that are a little more prominent, some that aren't. But he brings it all back in verse 25. He says that there should be no schism, no division. The gifts that he gives us are not to create division. But if you have a gift, you have a gift, you have a gift, and I have a gift, those gifts are all to be used together to honor and glorify God, to benefit the body. But he says not that there's division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Think about the fact that as we walk this Christian life, as we work together here at Calvary Chapel, we're so thankful for the visitors. I'm going to talk about Calvary Chapel for a bit. But as we walk together here at Calvary Chapel, If you can see where I'm walking, I can see where you're walking, and we have a love for each other, we have a love for the Father, we're going to be so willing to walk arm in arm with each other. And as the Spirit speaks to us, and as you see I'm walking just in a way that's not quite like it should be, I need to be so open. And we can go to the Word together, we can pray together, we can look at this, and we can draw closer to God, and our walk is going to be sweeter. And the body is going to grow. I need you, you need me, we all need each other. There were two men, I guess they're men, I'm not even sure, but I believe they're men in 2 Timothy. Let's turn there, 2 Timothy 2, verse 18. Okay, 2 Timothy 2, verse 18. Trying to see where. Verse 17. He talks about two men here, Hymenaeus and Philetus, I believe is how you say that, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection has passed already and overthrow the faith of some. I want us to look at verse 19 and use verse 19 as encouragement for us. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The foundation of God stand assured. That means I can always come back to the Word. I can always come back to God. And I know it never changes. It's always sure. It's always the same. We change. The Word of God does not. It is sure. It is a solid foundation. And in that way we can help each other. We can come back to the Word. And we know it's not just a personal preference that we're looking at, but we're looking at something that is the Word of God. As I'm traveling through life, if I make a wrong turn, I need my brothers and sisters to come and say, that's the wrong direction, Lynn. Go this direction. I know I'm harping on this a lot this morning, but it's something we really, really need to think about. We're in a world today where most things are focused in on ourselves. If it doesn't suit me, I want you just to back off a little bit. Because it's about me. Friends, we need each other. I want to close with a couple of verses out of Proverbs. Listen to these verses. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't lean on this bread, the understanding that you have of your own, but lean on the Lord with all your heart. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You hear that promise? He shall direct thy path. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. I believe what he's saying is you're going to be successful in your Christian walk. May we keep our hearts and our eyes, our minds open to the Father. As we're going through this life, the questions that we have, the things we're not too sure of, go to the Word of God. Go to your brother and sister. Ask them to pray with you. Seek out what God desires and walk in it. A good, sure way of us staying away from deception. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? The Lord, you've shown us again this morning in your Word that the times are difficult. Times are perilous. Lord, there's many that are falling away today, that are choosing not to walk. And there's many that are deceived. Lord, that think they're walking, but they're not. Lord, I'm just asking for us right here, everyone that's here this morning, Lord, that we would stay in tune to you. that we would be focused on what you have for us. Lord, that we would hear, that our ears would be open to hear what you have to speak to us. Lord, as we come and as we go, we pray that you would help us not to have walls that would keep us from learning from others, from your word. And Lord, we need each other. I pray that you would bring this very strongly into our congregation, Lord. The need for my brother and my sister to lift each other up to you and to walk in holiness and not in deception. We bless you, Father. We thank you so much for loving us. We commit ourselves to you. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.